exalt you. You are great. There's no God that compares to you. Lord, we ask today that you will speak to your children. Ask that you will answer questions, that you will give direction. And for those who need healing today, Lord, that you will heal their hearts, heal their homes, and heal their marriages. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? I know it's a season of love. It's Valentine. So help me wish your neighbor happy Valentine's Day. And if they are married, ask them, did your husband take you out? Did your wife take you out? Make sure you get an answer. Praise God. Today we're just going to go straight into the word. Let's do this quickly this morning. I want to start from Genesis 2 from verse 18. Genesis 2 from verse 18. We're still talking about the biggest lie. The biggest lie. Pascal has been teaching us about the things that, you know, Satan has constantly used to confuse us. These are things that God calls holy, but somehow Satan has confused us to think that these things are just regular things. And one of the things that he has shared with us constantly is the fact that holiness is not, when we say something is holy, it doesn't just mean that the thing is righteous. It means that it is set apart. It doesn't mean that the thing is not without sin or that the thing is not without flaw, that it is actually set apart for the master's purpose or for the master's use. So we know, we've learned that the Sabbath is holy. We've also learned that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And now today, one of the things I want us to focus on is something that we will find in Genesis 2 from verse 18. Praise God. So it says, and I'm reading the NIV version, it says that the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. He says, I will make a helper that is suitable for him. King James says, I will make him a helpmeet. That's a helper that is suitable for him. 19. Okay. It says, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. And he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. Continue. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. And he says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. Note that it says he made a woman, not a man. He made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. You know, it's interesting. Some of the things I always think about is, one of the things I believe very firmly is the fact that God knows exactly what he's saying. He doesn't say what he doesn't mean. So if he says that it was not good for the man to be alone, one of the things that he could have done was that he could have made another man. But he didn't, so it was not a mistake. They said that he made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man. So please pay attention to that. And then he brought her to the man, 23. The man said, this is how now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Next verse is a long read. So that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. That talks about covenant. 25. It says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? You know, I really believe, and I believe this very firmly, I believe that one of Satan's major goals is to make you doubt what God is saying. He's not really after anything else. If he can make you question God, if he can make you ask, did God really say? I don't think it was just about eating the fruit. I believe that what he was trying to do was get us to question anything that God is saying. If God has ever said anything to you, every time Satan comes to you, one of the things he will say is, did God really say? If he can make you question what God said, then he can get you to disobey it. If he can make you question what God said, he can make you think, oh, God doesn't really mean what he's saying. there's a loophole, there's a way to get out of it, then he can make you disobey what God has said. So the question is, what did God really say? And I believe that God didn't just say, don't eat the fruit. I believe that God has said a lot of other things. So most times when Satan is speaking, one of the things I try to pay attention to is what he's not saying. Praise God. So I try to listen, what is Satan not saying? You know, so the question is, what did God really say? That's what you should ask yourself. What did God really say? So today we're talking about marriage. So we need to ask ourselves, what did God say about marriage? That's the first thing. You need to ask yourself, what did God say about marriage? The first thing God said was that it is not good for man to be alone. And you find that a lot of times, in this our generation, the biggest problem is that men think it is good for them to be alone. That is why you have a lot of intelligent, smart, born-again, single young girls in church today, in their late 30s, early 40s, still unmarried, because Satan has somehow convinced men that it is good for them to be alone. So there are a lot of lies surrounding marriage. Now, one of the things Satan tries to make you do is he tries to make you believe that marriage is not holy. Marriage is not set apart for God's use. And we see clearly from the very beginning that if God created something, it is for his pleasure. It is for his use. So the first thing God said when he wanted to set marriage apart was he said, it is not good for man to be alone. That's what he said. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And Satan came and said, did God really say, why are you still single? He says, it's not good for man to be alone. The second lie that Satan tries to tell men is the fact that, you know, when the Bible tells us that when God said it was not good for man to be alone, well, the next thing he did was he started bringing animals, he made different animals and brought it to the man. It was whatever the man called it that the animals became. But in all of those, there was still no helper that was suitable for the man. There was still no helper that was good enough for the man. And the Bible says that God now did something interesting. He now put the man to sleep. The next lie that Satan tells men, especially, I don't know, somehow this message is coming about men. Brothers, are you in the house? Can I hear your amen? Amen. Praise God. The next lie he now tries to tell them is that if you need to get a wife, you can't sleep. Start running around. So you start running around, you start checking out girls, you start testing girls. And the truth of the matter is that the easiest way to find a wife, not a girlfriend, a wife, is to enter your rest. You must fall asleep. You must enter a level of trust in God that is equal to sleep. You know, when you are sleepy, you can't really do anything. You know, when you want to do an operation, women that have had C-sections or any kind of operation majorly will understand what I'm talking about. What they try to do is they try to either put you to sleep or numb that area. So that area is put to sleep, basically. And that's the same thing that God was trying to do. He wanted to do a major surgery on the man. He needed to get what the man needed. So he puts him to sleep. But these days, what Satan says is, if you want to find a wife, hustle. Start running around. Start looking for, chat this girl up. Chat this one up in first service, second service. Just run around. Go from church to church. Don't be committed anywhere. Try this house today. Try house on the rock tomorrow. Try different. Just go from Redeem house. Different churches. Just go TPA. Just be going around. But it is in God, once you enter your state of rest, that God actually brings your wife. Amen? I thought your amen would be louder than that. So that's another lie that Satan tells them. He tells you that you need to struggle to get a wife. But the Bible tells us that he put him to rest. And then out of his body, out of his rib, he formed a woman and brought it to the man, not another man. That's another lie that Satan is perpetuating these days. It's become so rampant. It's almost becoming ordinary. You know, there was a time when you couldn't even mention it. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't something you could say in public that a guy likes a guy. It's not even something done. Now, these days, they are so bold. What you even hear is, did you cut me? They didn't cut me. As you hear all sorts of crazy things these days. It's become a thing. So people think it's normal to marry and for a man to marry another man. Now listen, marriage is holy, which means it's set apart for God's purpose. Now these things should make you question, what is God's purpose for marriage? What is God's plan for marriage? Let's go to Malachi 2:15. I read the KJV version. I want you to see that what brings a lie is the fact that there's a truth that exists. Amen? For something to be a lie, there must be a truth that is already in place. There must be a truth that is in place. So this is the truth. This is what God wanted from marriage. He said, and did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? What he's asking is, why did God make marriage? Why did he make two people to become one? Because that's what marriage is. Two shall become one. He said he made them that he might seek a godly seed. He says, therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. What is God saying here? Why did I make marriage? I didn't just make it for your enjoyment. I didn't just make it so that two people will be friends and live together. No, I want a godly seed. God made marriage because he wants to have a child that you will raise to be godly from your marriage. But Satan now says to you, no. Why will you marry? No. He says a man and a man can have companionship. They can fall in love. They can live together. What makes the difference between a gay marriage or a homosexual marriage and a regular marriage is the fact that they can't produce children. Otherwise, it's the same thing. And that's what Satan tries to do. He doesn't create anything. What he tries to do is tries to confuse what already exists. So what he's going to do and make you feel like it's normal. As far as you are in love, why shouldn't you get a chance to be together? As far as you understand each other, why shouldn't you live together? In fact, if anything, because you are of the same sex, you think alike. Women and men don't think alike. So you will quarrel. Satan will tell you all those kind of lies. But the truth is, that's not all marriage is about. God set it apart. God made it holy because he wants a godly seed. And that can only come from what the real definition of marriage is. That from your rib, a woman was made and given to you. What does that mean? It means a man with a womb man, which means that she has the ability to take the seed that you carry and give God and you a godly seed. Praise God. So Satan tries to make us feel like, oh, it's all right. If you love each other, why shouldn't they be together? Listen. Without a man and a woman coming together, there can be no godly seed. And that's what Satan is after. He wants to make sure we don't have children and that we don't have godly seed. Let's look at that scripture in Message Translation. We'll see another lie, Message Translation. We'll see another lie that Satan consistently tells us about marriage. So it says that God, not you, made marriage. It says his spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And he says, and what does he want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. Then he says something. He says, so, guard the spirit of marriage within you. Do not cheat on your spouse. In the same breath that he talks about us having godly children and raising godly children for him, he also talks about us not committing adultery. Listen to me. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. But in my book, adultery is the senior brother. That is fornication that has matured. It has grown and is now matured. So one of the things that Satan tries to tell us is that it's okay. It's nothing. It's just sex. Once you are married, marriage is holy. It says that you will leave father and mother, and the two will become one flesh. You leave father and mother, and you will cleave to each other. You will become one person. Now, the real reason why people don't understand the covenant of marriage and why marriage is such a strong covenant is the fact that they think it's just ordinarily two people coming into an agreement and signing a piece of paper. Because you hear, if you watch movies abroad, they'll say, what difference does a piece of paper make? See, marriage is not a piece of paper. Marriage has never been a piece of paper. Marriage is a covenant. It is holy. It is separate unto God. It is not something to be toyed with. It's not something that you play with. It is two people becoming one person. That's why the Bible says that it is only death that can break the covenant of marriage. Only death. Nothing else can break the covenant of marriage. The two people will become one person. See, it is when it's like two people coming to the altar. So the man comes, the woman comes, and they say, oh, we agree to marry. You say your vows, you make all the promises and all the things you plan to do and you promise to do for your wife. You say, do you? I do. They ask the woman too, do you take this man? You say, I do. Now, from that day onward, in God's eyes, what you become is two people. So you become one individual in God's eyes. So from that day on, you become Mr. and Mrs. Kingsley Okonkwo. You are no longer two different people. What does that mean? That's why the Bible says that the man is the head. So the man is literally your head and you are his body. You are one individual walking about. You are not two separate people. Because that's where the problem comes. When people begin to think that you are two individuals, we're two of us, so that means I can go. No. When you are cheating on your spouse, you are carrying your wife's body and your head, and you are going to sleep with another person. That's why the Bible says that it is a sin against the body. It is not, every other sin is outside of the body. But this one is a sin against your body. So you are carrying, you are walking about. So in other words, let me help the men. In other words, you and your wife are committing adultery. I want to sink in. So you're carrying your wife's body and you're sinning against her body. Literally. Praise God. I know your hallelujah will not be loud anymore. But that's okay. And you see, praise God. And you see, the funny thing about these things is that Satan consistently, the truth is that both, I mean, men, over time, I've come to discover that both men and women commit adultery. So it's not just something that only the men do. And so I'm not attacking the men this morning. But I really want to help you to understand how holy, how God sees marriage to be holy. It's a covenant that he does not play with. It's a covenant that two people, like me, it's no longer two individuals just walking about. Because most times when women say, my husband cheated on me, the concept is that the man left me at home and went and slept with somebody else. And then he comes back to me. In fact, some women fight. I say, at least I'm the one he leaves at home. It's a sin against your body. Two of you are one. Nothing separates you but death. Nothing separates you but death. Two of you are one individual. So Satan sells this lie to men that it is not possible for a man to be faithful to one woman. And maybe to a normal man, it is easy, or a natural man, maybe it is easy for you to buy that lie. But I am one of the firm believers in the fact that adultery is not a sin of weakness, it's a sin of disrespect. So Satan sells that lie to you that it's not possible. 1 Corinthians 7, let's read that in Message Translation. See, the word of God is good. There's nothing you're looking for that is not there. It says, can we start from verse 1 so that I can build a context from verse 1? 1 Corinthians 7:1, Message Translation. Okay. It says, now, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me. It says, first, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Verse 2. It says, certainly, but only within a certain context. It says, it is good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Now, look at this line. It says, sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them. So that lie that Satan consistently feeds men, that no, you know, because your libido is higher than a woman, that is a lie from the pit of hell. I agree that it is higher than a woman's in some cases. I agree. I totally agree, and I do not argue with that. But it says that marriage is strong enough to contain them and to provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. That's what makes us different. That we can have a balanced and fulfilled sex life with one person. One. One. So do not allow Satan to lie to you. Listen, Satan is not even after your committing adultery just because it's going to hurt your wife. No. And you see, the problem with adultery is that the more you get involved in adultery, the more hardened you become. If you do it the first time and you don't get caught, it makes you bolder to try it again. And Satan is not just after you committing adultery because he feels, what he will tell you is just sex. That's what men say. But it's just sex. She didn't mean anything, but it's just sex. It's not just sex. Tell your neighbor it's not just sex. You need to say it louder. It's not just sex. Satan is after something even bigger. Proverbs 6:26. Let me show you. And I'm going to address this from different angles. I'm talking to the men, but I'm also going to talk to the married women. And then I'm going to talk to the side chicks. Because somebody needs to tell some of you the truth this year.
Some of you need to be set free from being agents of Satan. You see, the problem with Satan is that he will use you and dump you. If you serve God, you will be blessed. But if you serve Satan, he will use you. And then when God now rises to avenge the covenant of marriage, Satan will step back because he has no power. So you need to consider the master you are serving. You have the option to serve the God who cannot be defeated. But you choose to be an agent of darkness, destroying what God has put together. God says he hates divorce. If you are the tool Satan is using to do what God hates, because most young girls don't think about it. You think, oh, I just want somebody who is giving me money, who is taking care of my needs. I mean, at Manuel, I was blown away. Some of the questions that were being asked just totally threw me off. Somebody asked a question that is her only source of income. No! A married one is not a job. Praise God. Working in a bank is a job. Baking cakes and selling it is a job. Cleaning is a job. Washing clothes is a job. But sleeping with someone's husband is not a job. It is not a source of income. And I'm going to show you what God does with that money. Praise God. I hope I have enough time to really help somebody this morning. Can I start with the AMPC? AMPC. Proverbs 6:26. The AMPC. Because Satan tells you it's just sex. Tells you it's nothing. It's just sex. Nothing. Listen. Satan wants to destroy your life. You're not smart. Because you got away with it, you're not smart. You are destroying the covenant of marriage. When God says something is holy, is set apart for his use, that's what Satan will be after. You need to understand these things. See, one of the things I prayed for when I was getting married was an understanding of what I was getting into. You need to have seen me on my wedding day. I knew what I was getting into. I was shaking, literally shaking. It wasn't. So I'm always thrilled when I see people getting married and they are dancing. And their friends are clapping, hey, and I'm like, you don't even understand what you are entering. Somebody say, come and go to war, you are dancing. We're at war. Once you're a married person, what you have said is, you have shown Satan, see big sign here, I'm your target. You're carrying target on your forehead. That ring you're carrying about is target. It's target. Target from Satan. Target from side chicks. So once you say you're a married man, it's almost as if the whole of hell unleashes all the girls from their demonic position. You've been walking about sin, so these girls did not like you. Once one person who is a vessel of God decides, Father, I want to partner with you and make something of this man. Show me his future. God now shows you as a married woman that this is the plan I have for my son. And you take that plan and you put it down, you get on your knees and you start to pray. You fast. You make sacrifices for him to be getting closer. He has not even gotten there. Oh, he's getting closer to where God wants to take him to. All of a sudden, the demons and vampires, somebody called them vampires recently. I found it very amusing. Vampires will suddenly come out. And this is what they're after. It says, for on account of a harlot, a man is bought to a piece of bread. Chai. Kalebosha. Your husband will not be a piece of bread in the name of Jesus. You will not become a piece of bread in the name of Jesus. Men, I need your amen to be louder. Because this is, God showed me a picture, a revelation of what happens to men when they start to commit adultery. See, Satan is after your destiny. There's something great about your life. So Satan is telling you, be smart. She no go, no. Just chop clean mouth. It says, you want to bring you to a piece of bread. Not even the full loaf of bread. A piece. I remember the day I begged, my son was eating bread. So I said, David, please give me bread now. The boy does it like this. I could barely even see it. But is that not a piece of bread? It's still a piece of bread. He said, it will be brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress stalks and snares as with a hook the precious life of a man. Precious life of a man. If your life is not precious, Satan and his agents, side chicks, will not come for you. Your life is precious. If you are sitting near a man, tell him your life is precious. If it's your husband, say it louder. Look him in the eye. I give you permission. Look him eyeball to eyeball and tell him your life is precious. You need to understand that you are precious cargo. If I enter my bedroom, I was one of the things I tell agent, the angels is, I say, angels, this man that you are guarding is precious cargo. He's not ordinary. Do you understand? I need you to understand that you are not ordinary. If you understand that you are not ordinary, you will not carry your life with such carelessness and put it in the bosom of a harlot. Praise God. Give me the NLT. It says, for a prostitute will bring you to poverty. It says, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Literally, it's not just sex. It's your life. Tell your neighbor, it's not just sex. It's your life. So I see a lot of men handling their lives so carelessly. So carelessly. So you just carry your life and you think you're just being smart. That if I sleep with this girl, I'll just go. You are dropping your life all over the place. In a little while, there will be nothing left of you. Nothing. And God has great plans and he has such a great destiny for you. Praise God. So wives, one of the things I want you to make up your mind to do is to be an encompasser around your husband. See, don't listen to what the world is telling you. Feminism. Feminism will be the undoing of a lot of marriages. This is not just prophecy. It will be the undoing of a lot of marriages. This is one of the things that God said to me a couple of years ago. He said, because it's giving women the sense of, if my husband does it, I can too. That's not what marriage. Marriage is a covenant. We enter a covenant of marriage to look out for the good of the other person. So you are there to make sure this person becomes all they can be. So a lot of times as married women, we can be at ease. We enter the mode that my husband can never cheat on me. He's a Christian. My husband can never do this because he's a Christian. Listen, your responsibility is to pray until this prophecy you are speaking with your mouth becomes a reality. And to make sure that if he ever gets into it, he gets out alive. Praise God. So marriage is holy. Marriage is holy. And this year, God is coming for the side chicks. He told me last year, he said it will be a very difficult year for them. A very difficult year. Very difficult year. You see, sometimes people think that, oh, because I'm doing it and I've not been caught, I'm safe. Let me give you, I'm going to share a couple of the scriptures that God gave me towards the end of last year. Isaiah 33 verse 1, Message Translation. This one is for the side chicks. Then wives, I'm coming to you. Praise God. Let it be loud. I said praise God. Even if you don't praise me, let the praise God be loud. It says, doom to you, destroyer, not yet destroyed. So for those of you who slept with him and you got up alive, this is it. He says, and doom to you, betrayer, not yet betrayed. So you are sleeping with your friend's husband, or you are sleeping with your best friend's friend, boyfriend. He says, when you finish destroying, he says, your turn will come, you will be destroyed. He says, when you quit betraying, your turn will come, you too will be betrayed. Listen, the problem also with being a side chick is that if you ever get married, you will never trust your husband. Never. So there's already a curse hanging over your head. So it even has nothing to do with, you can even marry the best man in the world, which will not happen because God is a just God. Because God will not send his son to just be punished for nothing. But you will never trust your husband. You know, a thief believes we're all stealing. Once you are a thief, if you tell somebody that, if you're a Yahoo boy, you believe all of everybody's doing Yahoo, whether the person is a pastor or not. If you did not get something by a clean method, so for instance, let's say that you are teaching, you know all these weight loss people now, they teach us that we should eat clean and exercise. Meanwhile, they go and drink one secret thing behind. They come and take pictures on Instagram. Do you know that when people actually really lose weight through what they are saying, they don't believe it? So they will tell you, say the real thing that you are doing. I say, but now you say me go the exercise then and say, Pastor, tell me the real thing they do now, the way they lose weight. I'm like, but you say we should eat clean. They don't believe it because they too are not doing the real thing. So once you enter into that mode, it says your own time will come. Your own time will come. Isaiah 34 from verse 8. It says, is God's scheduled time for vengeance? He said, the year all of Zion's accounts are settled. Just be going, because I don't have time. So this is what will now start happening to all the agents of darkness. He now said, your streams, I know my roommate will shout amen when I say this. Your streams will flow sluggish, thick with pollution. He says the soil will be sterile. It will be poisoned with waste. Listen, a lot of you, the problem, this is not a curse. This is a warning. The problem, and this is one of the things that God said to me last year. He said the problem is the result of the things you are doing now, you will see them later. So you are committing adultery now. Sorry, is it fornication? If you are the single one, it's fornication. So you are committing fornication with a married man. And the man is committing adultery with you. See my English. I went to school. So you are fornicating, adultering together. When you now get when the repercussion comes in future, this is one of it. It says your soil will be sterile. You know the soil is where seed enters. So if your husband likes, let him have the highest sperm count, you will be barren. That's what he's saying here. So you see a lot of people, and that's why a lot of them will be running around at that time. Is this something I did in the past? I'm telling them that God has forgiven you. They say, is this something? Because they know what they did. Look at it. He says the whole country will be a smoking, stinking garbage dump. Your life. My question is it really worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because it's greed that causes these things. Somebody says she's getting older. One of the questions, Amanda, that she's getting older and it's only married men that come to her. So what should she do? What do you do? How? How do you touch something that does not belong to you? That's stealing. What do you do? How? You do what all the other people are doing. You pray and wait on the Lord until he sends you that which is yours. Next verse. He says, the fires burning day and night. The skies will be black with endless smoke. He says, generation after generation of wasteland. I always tell people, adultery is a spirit. It doesn't die with you. It doesn't die with you. It continues generation into generation. So some of you are setting up your unborn children. So innocent children who know nothing about what you've done is waiting for them, but for the mercies of God. And praise God, we serve a forgiving God. Next verse. In fact, I don't even know if the cost is too much. There's no need. Zechariah 9 from verse 1. This one is for those of you who think it's a source of income. I want to show you what that money cannot be used for anything good. Never. Never. You cannot start a business with adulterous money. It cannot work. It can't work. Give me the next verse, 3. This is it. Sam says, the side chicks. So Mary Dume, relax. So he says the side chicks have put together quite a kingdom for herself. She has stacked up silver like cordwood. She has piled gold high as haystacks. He says, but God will certainly bankrupt her. He will dump all that wealth into the ocean and burn up what is left in a big fire. See, it's a curse. I'm not cursing you. I'm telling you that this path, it can only end in destruction. Somebody needs to tell you the truth. It can only end in destruction. He says, whatever you think you have amassed, that man just gave me 1.5. For what? Another woman's money. Another woman's prayer. Another woman's sweat. See it? He said he will bankrupt you. And if God bankrupts you, nobody can help you. Nobody. He says, and he will dump all that wealth into an ocean, and then he will burn what's left. If he has dumped all the wealth, what's now left to burn again? Inside big fire. Praise God. I don't even think, it's plenty. It's plenty. I don't know if I should continue, or this is enough for you. I don't know if it's enough for you. Let me just leave it at that. You're killing your reputation. There's no point. Listen, marriage is holy. Marriage is holy. Marriage is holy. Tell your neighbor, marriage is holy. It is set apart for the master's use. So what now happens if you find yourself, maybe as a man, you find yourself that you're already in adultery, or you want to prevent yourself from getting into that kind of relationship? Because God hates it. Something, it's abuse. It's abuse of what God has placed in your hands. As a husband, God expects you to love. Yes, I'll say it. God expects you to love your wives. And I know that one of the things I've heard Pastor K say over time is that the only time that men really understand, because men don't really understand what they do to their wives, and to be honest, I don't think a lot of them care, you know, what they do to their wives when they commit adultery. You are killing your partner. Wives, women, most women that commit adultery, if you look at their husbands, they are like Uriah. They don't have front, they don't have back. They are just on a path to death. You are killing your husband. Because it's amazing to me, married, you are a married woman. For the life of me, I don't understand it. I don't think I ever will. Marriage is a covenant. It is holy unto God. You're not just in a covenant with a man, you're in covenant with God. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, let me just help you. This is what you must do. Because sometimes when we say treat your wives with understanding, some of them say, hey, I'm understanding. That's not all God is asking you. Let's read the TPT, please. Give me Passion Translation. Okay. Husbands. It says, husbands, single men, I'm helping you. So you prepare yourself before you get married. Because there are some single men who are sleeping with married women. Praise God. Praise God. It says, husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored. Like I said before, I don't think that adultery is a sin of weakness. I think it's a sin of disrespect. If you honor someone, you will treat them with reverence. There's a way you will not want to do anything that will be degrading to them or insulting to them. Most men that sleep with another woman, it's a sin of disrespect. I don't think it's just weakness. It's a sin. Because no matter how weak you are, I've never seen a man slap last man. That was a weakness. I just felt like slapping him. Never. You see Mopo, you will just slap him because you are weak. Never. Because there's honor and there's reverence. You know what will happen to you if you slap Mopo. It is the sin of disrespect that will make a man treat his wife otherwise. So God says, treat her with tenderness, with honor. And then he says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The way you treat your wife can hinder your prayers. Why? Because it's a covenant. You can't treat your... the simplest example I can think of is, so as you are, as a human being now, as a human, like you are a complete human being, so you eat all the junk that you are not asked to eat, you don't exercise, you don't have your bath, you don't do anything. You just wake up in the morning, lie on bed, they'll bring cake, you eat it. You don't stand up from that place. You will smell. You will literally deteriorate till you die. Literally. So, is that one now God punishing you? No. It is a result of what you have done to yourself. So that's why it says you should treat, if you treat your body well, you will live long. How many of us know that? If you exercise, eat right, do the right things, you will live long. That's the same thing he's saying here. If you treat your body, because your wife is your body, if you treat your body well, or as a woman, if you treat your head well, you will live long. It's only a principle that works. You will be blessed. There's no two ways about it. You will be blessed. Tell your neighbor, marriage is holy. Tell your neighbor, marriage is holy. So for the wives, for the men, so treat your wives with respect and with honor. It is that honor that will keep you from having those kind of adulterous relationships. But for the wives, one of the things I need you to understand, and God explained this to me with the story of those two prostitutes who had babies. How many of us know that story? That Solomon, that what made people declare Solomon the wisest king that ever lived. Those two prostitutes had babies. And then in the night, one of the prostitutes slept on her baby and the baby died. And then in the morning, she saw that her baby had died. So she stole, because that's what it is. She stole another person's baby and now pretended it was her baby. So when the other one woke up in the morning and she cried her baby, said, "This is not my baby." Married women, look, you will know your husband. You will know this is not your baby. You will know something is wrong. If you are alert, you will know. But listen, relax. It's only a matter of time. If you are someone who prays, one of the things I must encourage women to do is pray for your husbands. Don't relax. Even if you think that my husband is okay, don't relax. Pray for your husband. When she carried her baby, she knew something was wrong, and they went to the king. And the king said something. He said, "Let's share this baby into two. The one that did not have the baby." Say, "Let's kill the baby. Let's share the baby. Yes, let's share the baby." The other one said, "No, let's not share this baby. Instead of me to share this baby, let her have the baby." I don't think she was really saying, "Let her, I'm releasing the baby." But it was a conscious, instead of me to now use my action to further destroy this baby, she chose an action that would protect the baby. And that's what I'm going to ask for married women to do today. I'm going to ask you to make a decision this morning that I'm going to take actions that will protect my baby. You know, on social media, I put up a post on Pascal's birthday, and I wrote my baby, and I wrote hashtag, if you know, you know. And somebody wrote it and said, ah, this great man of God, Daddy Gio, is the person you are calling baby. I don't answer those kind of people, Sha. I don't see the point. But I felt in my heart that we have when you operate in revelation, you don't need to waste your time explaining. I was operating from a place of revelation that this is my baby, the one that God has given me. So I understand the things that he has spoken over his life. So I will not become a woman who will not guard jealously what belongs to me. Because I've heard people say things like, ah, Pastor M is overprotective of us. Okay, is it your husband that will be overprotective of? Please don't be angry. Don't be angry. Same time, I want to agree, Pastor K, she won't stand. Not that I do, but I think I should save. I think I should be standing. It's my husband. When you have your own, you can stay at the back. In fact, I can stay on the express when they are greeting him. It's all right. Married women, I really need to encourage you. Not just physically. Don't do FBI. FBI is not going to help you. It will only make the man smarter. In the place of prayer, stand over your husband. Pray until he achieves everything that God has shown you. Pray until God shows you his future. When God starts to show you his future, you will know that he's not an ordinary man. And because he's not an ordinary man, because he's not an ordinary man, the whole of hell will be after him. That's just how it works. But the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So listen to me, married woman. You are graced. You have the anointing, the strength and the grace to be a cover to your husband. So I want to encourage you, because it's becoming a thing among feminists where they say, why is it always women that are praying? Why are the men not praying for their wives? Whether the man prays for you or not is irrelevant. It's your baby. It's your what? Your baby. So you are the one that determines the actions you take to make sure that your baby is protected. I want to encourage you to begin to pray for your husbands like never before. Pray, take your time and pray for him. Check the scriptures. One of the things I do for Pastor K now is that I don't have to. I'm just saying what I do, because sometimes I find that when we do these things, people say, hey, relationship goals, puts people under pressure. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to say the things that work for me. So I have a book now that I've started writing the promises that God gives me concerning him. And I put it in between us on the bed, by his head, beside his pillow. So if at any point Satan is confusing or discouraging him or choosing to distract him, I pray that that's the day the angel will pass, the book will open, and it will show him that you are a great man of God. You are anointed for great things. You are anointed for big things. So I write every promise that God has given me. Some he is not even aware of. There are things that God has told me about Pastor K that he doesn't know. Sometimes when I ask him, I say, do you know that you are supposed to do this thing? He'll be looking at me and say, ah, if you know the greatness. And God can only reveal it to you as his wife. So I need you to begin to pray for your husbands. Don't follow the world. Don't follow what they are saying. That why is the only women that are praying? What's the option? What's the option? This is what we're graced for. This is what you're called to do, to be a help that is meet. Were you blessed this morning? Can we celebrate Jesus? I just want to take a few minutes to pray for everyone this morning. I want to pray for the men this morning. I won't take time and just pray for you, because I believe that if you can see a picture of who you are, a picture of your destiny and your future, you will understand the call of God on your life, and you will understand that you are a target for the enemy. But then you will understand how to carry your life, that it is precious. So I want to pray for you this morning that God will start to show you a revelation of who you are. Can you just lift your hand to heaven? There are men in the hall this morning. Malika toshta pratane kede emako suta lea bratane kedish de makala dado satala yane kede. Men, can you just rise to your feet? Men only. Malaka dadosha impratane kedista malabadosha. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your sons this morning. I release a grace to them this morning that gives them strength to live above the wiles of the enemy. I declare over you that you will be as gentle as doves. Yes, you will be as wise as serpents. I release to you a discernment like never before, that you will see from afar where Satan is going, and you will not be like the simple man and walk directly into it. No, you will You will go against every plan Satan has for you in the name of Jesus. I declare from today that you are blind to the harlot. You are blind to the adulterous woman. I declare that you will not be released to a piece of bread. I declare that from today, you understand fully your greatness, that God will give you a revelation of your greatness. Listen, God's word has spoken. He says sexual desires are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them. I declare for those who it is time for you to get married, I declare that your eyes are open to begin to see godly women in the name of Jesus, that you will not burn, but you will pick the wife that God has chosen for you. Enter your rest this morning in the name of Jesus.